Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm very happy about Andrew Sherman being with us, ladies and gentlemen. I told you he was going to be here. Andrew is a partner at Dickstein, Shapiro, Morin, and Oshinsky. This is a law firm there in Washington, D.C. He's also the co-founder of Grow Fast, Grow Right, an organization, a movement, a concept, a philosophy that you've heard me speak about many times, and as Andrew and I have talked about that. He is the author of many books, something under 100 books, which have sold something under a billion copies galactically, including one of my favorites, Franchising and Licensing, and a bunch more, which I'll get him to remind us about in just a little bit. He's our good friend. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be back on this side of the pond.
Yeah, it is good to be back. You know, we had a little bit of a challenge getting over there and everything, and we love Denmark, but it was so nice to be home. There's something cool about coming back to the United States, isn't there?
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, I'm excited to be doing all this international traveling at the same time. There's nothing like coming home.
Well, had you been to Denmark before?
I had not been to Northern Europe before. I'd been all over Western Europe, but that was my first trip to Northern Europe.
Oh, I thought you'd been to Stockholm before.
No.
Okay, well, see, that was our second trip to the Scandinavian countries. We'd been to Stockholm for a week, about 3 years ago or so. And so it was fun to compare the two countries, the Sweden and Denmark, the people there. And frankly, I found them very similar. I found them to be very, you know, I told my audience they're not just friendly, they're genuine, aren't they?
Yeah, there was almost a little U.S.-Canadian thing going on between the two countries with a lot of parallelisms to their culture, but also some subtle differences.
Right, no question about it. Talk to the audience about what you thought the objective of our group was for the Danes.
Well, I think the overall mission was designed to export entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship best practices. The U.S. Department of Commerce has a broader mission around making sure that basic principles of entrepreneurship are shared all over the world, that those basic principles help foster entrepreneurship in other countries that will eventually become robust trading partners for us. That was sort of the policy reason. I think that the business and strategic reason is we are, as a country, while we have many things that people around the world are not pleased with us about, we are still the kings of entrepreneurship, and we are the kings of entrepreneurial best practices and small business development. And there are a lot of countries out there that really want to learn from us, even though, I mean, you know, Denmark was pretty highly ranked in the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor study. I think they were number 9.
Mm-hmm.
But not like you and I were, you know, in a third world country that
right.
couldn't spell entrepreneurship. But there's a big difference between number 1 and number 9, and there's a big difference between what we know about what it takes to grow a small business and what they know about what it takes. So I think that was the overarching mission, and then we can drill down into the weeds on some sub issues.
Well, I would like for you to talk a little bit about what you told them. My audience has already heard what I told them. Basically, the bottom line of what I told them was that and they know this. They know that they've got some challenges. converting from basically a socialistic economy, which it is. I think that's a. I think that may be a crude and elementary way to describe it, but I think it's pretty accurate. A socialistic economy, where the government plays a heavy role in their lives, to what they want, which is more entrepreneurship. And I've told them that those two things are going to have to be a reckoning, a reconciling of those two, and one of them is they're going to have to decide which way they want to go. And so that was basically, in a nutshell, what I told them. But talk to us about some of the things you told them.
Well, my presentation was focused on what are the variables that need to be in place to build an entrepreneurial ecosystem, and I talked about a number of the variables, probably 12 or 14 variables that needed to be in place in order to truly foster and support entrepreneurship in a society. And we can start drilling into...
Hold on to that thought. I want you to talk to us about that. We'll get into some of those details. We come back, folks. And one of the things that you'll benefit from hearing Andrew saying these things is you'll reappreciate, you'll have a new appreciation for the great things that we have in the United States, especially from an entrepreneurial environment. It's 20Tail. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
There's too much confusion.
There's the...
The late, great Godfather of Soul, ladies and gentlemen.
Ain't no drag.
James Brown.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Somebody who's got almost as much soul as James Brown did is our good friend Andrew Sherman.
Wow.
Our,
now you've really got me going.
Longtime member of our Brain Trust, Andrew is... As I've said before, folks, I encourage you to find his books wherever, and go into any of the online bookstores, look in any bookstore, and you'll find a lot of stuff that he's written on how to grow your business, how to capitalize your business, how to buy a franchise, how to license your product, anything on intellectual property, especially you'll find that. How many books have you written to date, Andrew?
17, working on number 18 right now.
There you go, folks. You thought I was kidding earlier when I was taught what I was saying about how many he's written. He's getting close. Andrew, you were telling us as we went to the break about you were about to tell us some of the details of your presentation when you and I were in Copenhagen in Denmark talking to the people that we were talking to, Andrew, were local, or I shouldn't say local, were Danish policymakers, Danish politicians, some politicians. There were educators there. There were some students there. A number of people, you may not have been there. I asked for people to raise their hands if they own businesses. A number of people raised their hands who either were business owners or wanted to be entrepreneurs. We had a pretty good cross-section of, I felt like, of the people who were interested in the marketplace there in Denmark in attendance.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think there was a combination of entrepreneurs and business owners who wanted to really learn how to do it right and learn from the Americans that had come over, and it was a really good mix of people. You and I, of course, excluded from that. But the other side of it was this learning piece, and that's where the government and the academics and some of the others were really interested in having a debate about what policy should be in place and what's the right government attitudes and systems and regulatory issues. And so it was a real healthy mix, and that mix was reflected, you and I kind of as spokespersons for that community. Then you had a veteran entrepreneur, Claire Fairfield, with us. We had a veteran angel investor, and then we had the provost from University of Miami that teaches. So it was those were the five Americans that were on the trip, and I think it was a healthy mix of speakers reflecting on the mix of the audience.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the details of when you talk about this ecosystem, this entrepreneurial ecosystem. Tell us about some of the details of that.
Yeah, I do want to pick up on one comment you made before the break, because I want to reinforce it to our listeners today. We are very blessed as a nation to have definitely have the best entrepreneurial ecosystem there is, and we are many, many countries are trying to mimic that ecosystem. What I drilled into is the variables there, variables that we should never take for granted. Obviously, at the core is freedom, and all the prices that's paid to protect that freedom. But then getting deeper is things like access to risk capital, a court system that will enforce contracts, protection of intellectual property, the bankruptcy laws, favorable employment laws. I mean, there's a whole series of factors that need to be in place, and you could take any one of them. I mean, one of the things that you and I heard a lot at that cocktail hour that they threw after the event was this issue of taxes. You know, yes, we have high taxes in this country, and I'm hoping that we'll continue to chip away at them. But in Denmark, the tax rate's almost 60%. And what many of the entrepreneurs were saying is, number one, it's hard to attract angel investment when too many money would-be angel investors have their money offshore because they don't want to pay those high taxes. And second, it's kind of hard to motivate yourself as an entrepreneur when you know that 60% of what you earn will go back to the government.
And don't forget, Andrew, we have to mention that, you know, in America, from a tax standpoint, we have, of course, we have lots of different kinds of taxes, but, you know, we don't have anything like they have in Denmark. In addition to the high rate of personal income tax you were just talking about, they also have a 25% VAT tax, a value-added tax, like, which is essentially a national sales tax.
Yeah,
they also have incredibly high taxes on automobiles and other things. So the taxes, I mean, they get hit by taxes every which way. And so your last point about if you're an entrepreneur, why would you struggle? Why would you take the risk if whatever you earn is just going to be eroded by taxes?
Yeah, and that's a huge issue. And that's one that, you know, as good of a job as I think we all did sharing our best thoughts, you know, your presentation was excellent. It was hard to overcome that sort of big, big elephant in the room. And, you know, I don't know that anything we said is going to probably get the government to change their tax system overnight, but the Danish people and any of the other European countries that are looking to foster more entrepreneurship, even over in Eastern Europe, you know, they've got to understand the impacts that taxation rates have at all levels on entrepreneurs. And, you know, we not only have relatively favorable rates compared to theirs, but we have a bunch of tax provisions, you know, built into the code that help foster entrepreneurship. We have our tax credits, we have subchapter S status. You know, these are all things that the IRS has given to small businesses. You know, they may have taken away in other areas, but there are a couple dozen provisions in the Internal Revenue Code designed to help foster small business ownership.
The big thing that I saw over there, Andrew, because the tax situation can be changed if they decide to change it, if they want to change it. But there's some attitudes over there that when we come back, I want to talk about those attitudes that they have over there that they're going to have to change. And changing attitudes is a lot harder than changing policy and laws. And we'll talk about that right after these messages. Andrew Sherman is our guest. It's 10 till. I'll be right back.
That I found a way to make you say that you love.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Andrew Sherman. Andrew is one of the best 21st century minds that I know, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to growing a business, to taking a business to the next level, to get to acquiring some kind of escape velocity where you can break the bonds of being mediocre and grow to being an enterprise level company and maybe even taking your business to public status. Andrew is one of the best minds I know about that. In all the areas, whether it be your intellectual property, the capital acquisition, all the different areas. And, Andrew, we appreciate you being available to us with all that.
Jim, you keep talking that nice to me, and people here traveling to Europe together, they're going to get the wrong idea, man.
Well, they've known how I feel about you for a long time. Give us your website, please.
It's www.growfastgrowright.com and www.dickstienshapiro.com. You can...
All right.
Learn more about me on either site, and I encourage you to visit both.
And also search for Andrew Sherman on Amazon, for example, and you can find all of his books there. Be prepared to scroll. Andrew, here I just wanted to say one thing about my presentation. It's the very last slide that I showed the folks in Denmark, and it says this very simply: an entrepreneurial economy can only be created and sustained if the potential rewards of success are more compelling than the possible cost of failure. And Andrew, they don't have that over in Denmark. We have that here in the United States. The rewards of success can be great, and if we fail, the costs could be great too. But the former is more compelling than the latter. And if we fail in the United States, we get over it. We hitch up our britches, so to, as my dad would say, and we go in another direction. We try again. When I talk to business owners, I won't call them entrepreneurs, business owners in Denmark, Andrew, and I said, what if you tried to do something else and you failed? They actually told me, if you fail in Denmark, you're marked for life. They got a problem with that over there.
Yeah, it's a really important point. It's one we could probably spend a half an hour on. But you know, attitudes towards failure, and I mentioned that one of the 12 or 14 variables that I had identified was the bankruptcy laws. You know, I remember as a kid, and I'm sure you remember the same, that you know, if somebody had filed bankruptcy, you know, we sort of all whispered about them, and your parents would talk, oh, he was bankrupt once.
Right.
You know, dial forward 30 years in a post-dot-com bust era, and, you know, it's almost like failure is a badge of courage as opposed to a scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
And as a badge of courage, people realize that, you know, they're not going to necessarily make it the first time or the second time out. And so your cultural attitudes towards failure and trying new things, as you said before the break, you know, shape and influence attitudes towards entrepreneurship. And if their fear of failure is so great, or the scarlet letter is so big on their head, then nobody's going to want to take that risk and embarrass their families. But if you've got a culture that allows for failure and almost embraces it as a stepping stone, then that's a whole different story.
You know, Andrew, in the couple of minutes we got left, I want to bring all this back to the United States. We have to be careful in the United States that we don't get seduced into socialistic policies. A lot of these are going to be proposed over the next couple of years, year and a half, in the presidential primaries. Andrew, the Danes are trying to get unstuck from socialistic trends, and I should say socialistic conditions, and they know that it's not healthy for their long-term success. But the people have gotten seduced into liking those things, and they're prepared to pay these big prices for all this. In the United States, we have to be careful about that, because if we get seduced by socialistic gifts, so to speak, things that sound too good to be true, like a free lunch, like universal health care, we could lose the entrepreneurial ecosystem that you talk about. 30 seconds.
I apologize to everybody who's offended by this analogy in advance, but you know, we almost have to have a more rapid weaning from the breast, because if you continue to allow the bulk of your citizenry to to milk from that source, they're not going to be encouraged to break forward, cut the umbilical cord, and take risks. And I think we, as a society, almost make that our style of parenting. I mean, the quicker we can get our kids out there and doing things and learning the ways of the world, the better. And you do have to break free from that. And that's why
Andrew, I got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today. I enjoyed our visit today. See you next time. I'm Jim Blassingame. I got to go. I'll be back. I promise.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.